Hey, welcome to Guitar Knobs, the guitars, gear, noise, and nonsense podcast, hosted today by these knobs.
Tony Dudzik, Pick Guardian!
Rob Chafe, Mad Complication.
Chafe. Old Moanin' Rob's with us again.
Woohoo! He's back!
Give me some of the throw man.
He's back!
Yes.
He actually flinched.
I did. Well, you're throwing a pedal at me. What am I going to do? Hey, everybody. It's me, Todd Vogel. Welcome to the Guitar Knobs Podcast. We're thrilled to death that you're listening to our show.
Woo!
Yes. Rob, we've missed you. I know how much you've missed us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I miss Tony.
Boys, we got a great show tonight because there's a pedal sitting on our desktop here.
Is there?
Called Old Tapes. And that is from Sketchy. And we've got Mr. Sketchy. Who are you, Mr. Sketchy?
I am Brandon Wilson, and I appreciate the opportunity to hang out for the evening.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, we're glad to have you. Well, before Rob can say anything negative, we're going to get moving on with the show here.
Oh, my goodness.
I did have one announcement.
Go away.
It's a big one, guys.
Not go away. Don't go away.
Go away. Who says that?
Just go away. Yeah, we got this, Todd.
Go ahead.
Thank you. This is a big one.
Okay.
We recently had a guest who we went over an awful lot of pedals. In fact, it was asterisks their whole line because they sent it before they.
I know what you speak.
Yes. So I have been told by our previous guest, Dez from Warm Audio.
Oh, yeah, Dez.
That he would very much like us to give away all of those pedals that he sent us.
That's an awful lot of pedals.
I'm very, very excited about that.
Holy
That's
moly.
That's so cool. Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give away 7 of these pedals. And I'm really excited about it because they're substantial. Every one of them is a substantial pedal.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. We're going to, we haven't figured out the cadence. I'm probably going to do one a week for 7 weeks. So I guess I just figured out the cadence.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever you say, Todd. That's you know. Todd's calling the shots.
It would be way more fun than just saying, "All right, here's the 7 people that won it." Ba-ding bonk.
Why wouldn't we give? Yeah. Could we give all of them to one person?
We could, but that
it's going to take 7 weeks for me to get all 7. No.
It would be much easier to ship. Let me tell you that.
Yeah.
The shipping's going to get a new guitar for this.
Yeah. So if you win the first one, are you then ineligible from the other 6?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I think that's fair.
Yes.
What happened with all 5 order, of listeners?
The idea is to distribute the wealth.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Anyways, Brandon, you like my logic here, right?
I do. It's sound.
Good. Okay.
Do you remember that episode of The Office where, what's his name, Dwight puts the, Michael puts the magic discount coupons in all the same boxes that are all grouped together? You guys never seen this?
Yes.
Yeah. The golden ticket. Yeah.
Golden ticket.
It's a discount, 10% off your order. And he put it in boxes that were all in the same area, so they all went to the same customer. Right? You see where this is going?
How did I not see that one?
And then he had to call him to tell him it's not going to happen.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Anyhow, very exciting.
And
thank you so much,
Warm Audio to
Dez
do that.
And Warm Audio for doing that. That's just immensely cool.
Yes.
All right. So more to come on that. And that is going to our supporters on Patreon. Our executive producers and grand poobahs are feeling mighty lucky right now.
So yeah. They don't have to, you're just going to pick every week a new one.
Yep.
You gotta randomize.
I'm going to pick a winner every week.
We've got a special, we spent thousands and thousands of dollars developing a special
software
to pick.
It's really just a giant dartboard with all their heads on it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That works. Okay.
So anyways, let's get on. We want to hear all about Brandon and less about Rob. And we just want to get going on with our music world. What's going on in our music world this week? Start off with Tanya Bolanski, the Polish prince of pretzels. And tell us what's going on in your music world this week, and then we'll check in with Brandon.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, this past week, Todd was kind enough to take me to a show at the Newport here in Columbus, And this is a what was really cool about this is I think all of our listeners really like the type of gear and the pedal selections and all the stuff. And this was the Dandy Warhols.
Yeah.
Now, the Dandy Warhols, for those who don't know, early 2000s, they had a big hit with Bohemian Like You.
Yeah.
I think it was on a cell phone commercial, maybe Vodafone or something like that. And that just blew up.
Yeah.
And they just actually released a new album this past week. And we heard some of the songs there, and they're skewing away from pop and more into noise.
At least on this one.
Well, at least on this one. But what was really cool, so, you know, Todd and I go to shows, and the first thing we do, we look at pedals, we look at what's on the back line, yeah, the guitars
we
that are coming
out. We're like, what is this stuff?
Yeah, and so I after the show, I did a little digging in, and so Peter Holmstrom, who is the, I guess you would call him the lead guitar player.
He's one of the founders of the band.
And one, well, all yeah, four.
He's the lead and the founder.
Yeah, this all four people.
Same people.
Are the founding members, which for 20-some years is pretty significant.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some bands that are only a couple of years old and are falling apart.
Yes.
We saw these amps on the back line, and they looked like, you know, some wood boxes, maybe old Gibsons.
Crazy. They looked like they had the Gibson handle,
like the old style metal handle
with acrylic in it.
Yes, and what it turns out, these are a band or a company called Supersound, and they're called Supersound 15s. And they're kind of a cross between a Vox AC-15 and a Gibson GA-40. So I guess cosmetically and sound-wise, sonically, there is that kind of a cross. And these things sounded great. And Peter uses a pair of them. He runs his stuff in stereo. And then I was trying to figure out the guitars, because in the old days he would play like a 72 Tele thin line that was like painted cream and had decals and stuff on it. And this was the first time that I'd seen him play these guitars.
He played them exclusively. He had like three or four of them.
At least two, but maybe three or four.
He had a baritone for sure.
Oh, yeah. He did have a baritone.
Yeah.
And it turns out those are made by Call Guitars, K-O-L-L, Saul Call. Yeah, better call Saul. It's, you know, boy, he should use that.
You think?
He should use that. But anyhow, the model is a Super Cub, and it's kind of a cross, like a stretched out Jazzmaster, maybe. But you know, it had like a mastery bridge, like a Jaguar Jazzmaster bridge. It had a real funky looking headstock on it, 6-inline, but it had like this big chunky thing, almost like an old. I don't know if anyone remembers the Gretsch TK-300. It's a weird looking headstock.
How sure. Is that K-A-U-L?
K-O-L-L, Call.
Oh.
Saul Call Guitars.
For whatever reason, Super, I thought you were
Super Cub.
I thought I heard that. I was like, wait, what?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And I mean, I didn't get close enough to see his pedal board, but he had so many pedals on the thing, and he was generating so many different types of sounds. It was pretty impressive, and I guess who you would call the main singer, rhythm guitar player, his name's Courtney Taylor.
Yeah,
I wonder if that was, you know, on purpose.
I don't know.
Maybe as a stutter.
Yeah.
Two, and I've never seen these before in this color. So they are like they're 1967 Fender Coronado 2s.
Yeah.
And these are in Olympic white.
Yeah.
Well, and he has both of them.
Nice color.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, of course now they look creamy but they sounded like they should. And then he had this old beat up amp, the single 15 amp and combo in the back. And that's a 1965, and the company's name is Sound, X305R. And for that type of sound, it sounded kind of crunchy kind of.
It sounded old beefy. And lo-fi.
Yeah, definitely lo-fi.
Yeah. I liked it on the Coronado. He had the like the black body wall, like
binding.
Not binding. You know.
Body wall.
Well, oh, it's, yeah, it's hard to, I don't know what
you mean the edges?
Not just the edges, but the strip that goes, because it's a semi-hollow. So the, help me out. What do you want to call that? The siding?
The side?
The side of it, yes.
Well, I'm imagining siding now.
You know what I'm not saying. Aluminum siding.
Do I have to point to it?
Was this PVC or aluminum?
You know. It's just black. It's like painted.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's, it might just be that. But I think what was really cool about that is he had on the one he seemed to play most of the night, it was the pick guard on it, which I, of course,
that's the edge of the guitar.
I would notice.
That's the edge.
That's like the, right?
They're arguing about
that,
the edge.
That isn't an edge.
Edge, side, whatever. Yeah.
But he had this, it was almost like a Bigsby style inlaid guard that had a CTT on it.
Yes, yeah.
And that one, that was really cool to see that. But anyhow, and it was really cool to hear the songs. I ended up going to the back of hall because that's where I usually like to see shows any, or I get the full sound of it. And it was definitely better than being, you know, up front like we were.
I like the visceral experience.
Yeah, but I like the mix.
Yeah.
So, you know, beefaroni, beefagetti.
Yeah.
They're both so good.
You know what the best part about this is? Because, Brandon, I know you were just about to ask me, like, you're like, why is he going on and on about this? What's the best part about his thing? You can go ahead and ask me that. What's the best part?
What was the best part about his thing?
Is that I now have connected with Peter, and he's going to be on our show.
Oh, nice.
You're telling me Peter Stromberg from the Dandy Warhols is going to be on the show.
That's correct.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
How long do we have to wait till that's ready?
That's coming up in like 3 weeks, I think.
Holy moly.
Three or 4 weeks, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, well, second week of April, I think. So maybe more. Yeah.
That's very cool.
I love it, because I've been a fan since 97 when they first like came out with their stuff. And I was, you know, Dandy's Rule, okay? Dig it.
Nice.
Yeah.
You are somebody.
So are you, Tony. You're something.
That's it for me.
Brandon, why don't you tell us what's going on in your music world this week?
This week? Oh, boy. My music world this week, I had band practice. That was fun. We're actually in the process of recording a new album. All of my recording gear is over at the singer's house at this point. We just recorded drums last weekend. Ooh. And so that's fun.
That's cool. But, what kind of music?
We play, it's kind of punk, a little bit of pop punk, a little bit of raw punk, maybe a couple of metal licks mixed in, but a little more accessible, kind of faster rock, I guess.
So like,
it's a lot of fun. Like, I've been playing music with the guys in the band off and on for 2 decades. So we know each other well.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So we're under the band name Joymaker. The singer made it. We actually have an album on. Geez, I didn't even plan on bringing this up, but I guess that's what's happening this week. We've already got an album that's on all the major platforms. The album's name is Pants Your Dance Off, which is stupid. But Joymaker, Pants Your Dance Off. That's that. And then our new album is going to be Sock Your Rocks Off. So anyway, you can check that out if you want. But yeah, we did a little bit of recording, had some practice, and we got a show in another week now. So musically, I guess that's what's going. And I make pedals every day, so that's always a thing.
That's cool, man.
That's really
super
cool.
Fun. Super fun. All right, everybody, go check out Joymaker. On the interwebs and dig it. Well, that's very cool. Rob, how about yourself?
I bought and sold an amp.
You bought the same amp
and sold.
You've same done that amp. At least twice, and two other times since I've known you.
It doesn't take me long. It's you know, I wish there were dealers to stock this stuff well anywhere, but that, you know, because it really, it's this, usually within an hour or so. It's like, well, that's too bad. Put it in a box and sell it, you know. But yeah, it's
what
cool.
What was it?
A Bogner 35, 34, 50 watt, which is their 50 watt. The normal XC is 100 watts. This is the 50 watt, obviously, so it's a little smaller in size and stature and everything. And
is it a combo?
Nope, head.
Okay.
Looking for something maybe a little lower wattage, and it's supposed to be a pseudo three channel thing. And
lower wattage than a 50?
No, this is a 50 watt.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because all the other full size XC is 100 watts, so it's.
Oh, but it has to be Bogner.
It doesn't have to be Bogner because I just had a 15 watt. I just had two different 15 watts Sur amps, and no, just looking for something, okay. You know. Right. But yeah, got it and plugged in. It sounded good, but it wasn't like, oh, this is it. It was like, well, okay, you know, dialed in some decent tones. Then I plugged in the old Shiva, and it was like, meh, never mind. So yeah, but the cool thing is that I bought it at a good price. They're really hard to come by right now. Like by now maybe a dealer has one in stock somewhere, but no dealers really had them for that moment. It's one of these things that as they're coming in, they're selling out just quickly. So I posted on my Instagram page, hey, selling this, you know. And Michael Furman sent me a message. He was like, hey, I just saw a message over at the gear page. Somebody was looking for one of those. And I went over and made a contact with the guy, and an hour later, shipped it off to him.
Wow.
So it was literally like I posted it, and 2 hours later, it was in FedEx on its way out the door.
Wild.
That's very cool.
What's this thing called?
Bogner?
Yeah, well, yeah.
XTC. What? 35.
XTC?
Actually, if you just type in XTC, you'll find it too.
Well, that's your problem. It's called ecstasy.
Can I ask you this?
Holy mackerel.
As an amp tech.
Buy a car for that.
Mm-hmm.
As an amp tech,
yeah.
When you ship an amplifier, do you pull the tubes?
No.
And you just leave everything in place?
If it's packaged correctly from the manufacturer, which all these big brands do it correctly, they use a box that is rated heavy enough for the load.
Right.
And they use the dense foam corners. So basically the head amp is suspended inside the box.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're doing that, pulling the tubes, it doesn't matter because it's basically like a shock mount at that point, you know, because you got the dense foam in all the corners.
Right. You never had problems with tubes dropping?
Nope,
or?
Not if it's packed like that. If it's packed, so there's no, there isn't the foam suspension, or you're wrapping in a bubble wrap and throwing it in a box. Even if you pull the tubes, you're probably going to get destroyed. And no soft materials. If you're packaging something heavy, hard materials, dense foam is the only way to go. And I actually tell people, like, if they're shipping me something to repair, I encourage them, send them a link to this Amazon. It's the packages you can get, they're like, how do I want to say this? It's like there's a fluid in there and you have to.
The foam goes.
Yep, exactly. Put one of those on either end of the head or combo or whatever, put it in the box, let it fill in around them. As long as the box is heavy material, not like one of those chintzy Amazon boxes.
Yeah, you got to use a real heavy.
You could ship the thing around the world.
Nice.
Yep.
That's good to know. Because I've always wondered that. I often shy away from selling amps online because of that. Because it's always expensive. But two, you know, the damage in shipping seems to be an issue in a lot of cases.
And this one, and I made sure when I bought it that it had the original packaging material. So that way I could continue down the road. And it went from here to Texas. And I got it from a guy in Cali. So it literally crisscrossed the U.S.
Wow.
Made it
How much
fun.
Did it cost to ship?
Not much. I've got a FedEx account, and pretty substantial discount. I think to get it to Texas was about $60-some insured.
That's not horrible.
Yeah. No. And now the head is only about 30 pounds.
Right.
You know, so it's not a crazy, heavy, large box. But yeah, so I got it, tried it, and like I said, Michael helped me out there and was able to flip it. And between flipping it and the purchase price I got it for, I didn't lose anything, so...
Oh, I've got a couple of Pathfinders that, you know, if you want to
try those out. I have tried those. Yeah, they're
not bad.
They're not bad for what they are.
Somebody asked me what's going on with them.
Somebody asked Todd. go ahead.
I don't know.
Well, Todd, what's going on in your musical world this week?
I have been have a lot of great inspiration guitar wise lately.
Yes, you were watching me, weren't you?
I was. No, I'm just bananas about the Liam. Liam Gallagher and John Squire album.
Oh, yeah.
And I got my special edition of that that has a zoetrope. It's the thing where if it's spinning in one direction, a bunch of pictures look like it's running in the other direction kind of thing.
Oh.
The disc itself mm-hmm. has this graphic on it.
This is vinyl, I presume.
It doesn't work that like that. No. It's just it looks pretty.
If you put it on 45, it works better.
It might. It's a 12-inch, so that, you know, that could be a problem. But anyways, it's still cool. And I'm just so excited about the tones and stuff and the type of guitar that John Squire has laid down for this. Mm-hmm. And that also kind of hit right in the middle. I got that like a couple days before we went to the Dandy Warhols, which is like Northwestern, like psychedelic rock kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Psychedelic folk, if you want to call it. And so, you know, I was armed here with the old tapes and some really killer pedals from Strummer. And I was like, I'm going to let the delays and the fuzz fly and just have some fun, and just made a bunch of racket, and it was great. So, and Strummer's going to be on our show here pretty soon. So it was a good pairing. Anyhow,
that's your music world this week.
That's music world this week. Speaking of all these pedals, you know what it takes to get these things all connected and stuff?
Tour Gear Design patch cables.
That is correct. We want to thank Tour Gear Designs patch cables for making great stuff.
Oh yeah,
we talk about these things.
Not only
the
are they great, they're flat, they're affordable, they're reliable, and they take up very little space on your pedal board.
That is correct,
because they have a very teeny tiny little head plug that goes in. And you know, as we've often said, you put these on your pedal board, you could probably squeeze an extra pedal or two onto there.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. Yeah.
Brandon, are you familiar with Tour Gear Designs patch cables?
I am not. I have not used those.
Well, you're probably going to after you hear this deal. Because if you go and you put a whole bunch of the patch cables in the cart.
Where do you go?
You go to tourgeardesigns.com.
Yes.
And you load up your cart, and then you're going to go and you're going to see the coupon. You put in the guitar knobs. And Tony, how much are you going to save?
You're going to save an extra 15%. Yes. 15% on an already affordable product. You're going to buy a bunch of them. Yep. You're going to load up your cart. You're going to save a lot of money. You're going to get them fast. They come from Canada, but man, do you get them fast.
Indeed, indeed. So thank you to Tour Gear Designs for making those things and for sponsoring our Four on the Floor. Tony?
Let me get a little bit of this.
One, two, three.
Four on the Floor.
All right. Brandon Wilson, what is your Four on the Floor?
So I would start with, I'd for sure start with a wah pedal. Currently, to save space on the board, I use the Dunlop Mini Crybaby. I think from a utility pedal, I probably go to the wah. I don't think more than I should, but maybe some people would think that. When you're going to a lead, or like an octave line, to have like a cocked wah sound is just a classic sound that I've always loved. And so I do use a boost, but I find myself using the wah almost in place of that because it just helps cut right through right when you go to it. So
yeah,
always had one. I think my second pedal I ever got was an old big tank of a Crybaby wah. It was probably heavier than my pedal board at the time. I think I still have it somewhere, but I've just never been without one. So definitely would start with a wah.
Is there a particular brand in mind that you particularly like?
Just the Dunlop Crybaby, just okay. The old tried and true standard one. To be completely honest with you, I had that big tank one for, I think I still have it, but I think I used that one for probably 20 years.
Wow. Yeah.
And then I switched to the smaller version of the Dunlop Mini Crybaby just to save space. And I don't think I'd go back to a big tank again.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
But yeah, for sure would be one of those. I'd have to, bare bones. I'd go with that. And then I'd also go with a volume pedal.
Okay.
And what is your volume pedal of choice?
There's another mini volume pedal. You know what's funny right now, thinking about it? I don't even, is that a Dunlop? Does Dunlop make those?
They do.
Geez, I sound like a moron. Mm-hmm. I've tried too many. the Dunlop Volume X, the DVP-4.
Yep.
That's the one. Again, just save space on a pedal board. And what I really do, I don't mean to jump around, but another one would be the OCD.
Okay.
And I'll mix in the volume with it. So, and I'll get to why I like the OCD, because that was a little bit of an adventure getting there. But really, the nuts and bolts is I just love the sound of an OCD pedal, whether it's at the lowest gain setting or the hottest gain. I think that pedal gets it. It gets high enough gain for what I think is optimal and sounds amazing at low gain. But what I'll often do is just have my gain on that, the drive, probably usually around like 3/4 of the way up, maybe 2 o'clock. And then I'll just actually use the volume pedal to, lower essentially the gain when I need it to be a little softer. So, a volume pedal is super, super useful. Like if I'm backing away so the bass can go through, the band I'm in, the singer is a really great guitarist. So we go back and forth between who plays a lead thing here or there. And when he's got a lead part, I don't switch. I just keep my high gain going and just use my volume pedal to roll back a little bit. And in a live setting, it's like, I wouldn't want to play a show without it. It's super versatile if you care about getting out of the way when you need to, so you're not a jerk. And so that's why I use those. I used to use a blues driver. I love a blues driver. The blues driver was my first pedal, and the wah pedal was my second. And I used that blues driver from I was 10 years old. I was 10 or 11 years old, and I got a blues driver, and I used it until it stopped working when I was 36.
Wow.
That thing, that's all, basically what I did. I had a tuner, right? You don't go without a Boss chromatic tuner, but it was that, the wah and the blues driver. And then when it busted, that actually kind of got my mind going towards pedal repair, which is what eventually morphed into Sketchy Sounds, which that's a different road. I won't bring up that story now, but the blues driver breaking was kind of my, that's when my curiosity sparked. I've always been in love with guitar. I think I may love the guitar and what it is and the bond you can have with it as a musical instrument, maybe even more than music itself. And I don't mean to sound, that sounded really stupid, but I've always loved it.
That's absolutely, I totally get that.
Yeah, I've had a very intimate kind of like, man, that's a dumb word to use too, but I love it. And so I've built guitars. I've repaired guitars. I've done all kinds of stuff, but I never got into the pedal game until my blues driver failed. And I went to the store because I couldn't fix it. I sucked at it. I'd done plenty of soldering and stuff before, but I miserably failed and did not. That's not like I fixed it and then I had this wow moment. It kicked my butt and I decided to buy another pedal. And then I went back to try to resurrect it later. And when I went and tried them, it was the first time I had ever tried any other overdrive, because that's all I had and it's all I wanted. And I was just blown away by the OCD and its versatility. And I probably should have got it and ventured out sooner. But boy, did I love the sound of my PV Classic 50 amp with the Blue Marvel speakers, you know, the 212s, that blues driver going through that amp just was the sound I wanted and had it for so many years. And then the OCD came in. It's actually why I ended up making the Bad Blood pedal that's in my lineup, which is the germanium version of the OCD. but it's got a foot switch that you can switch the gain settings. So you can set one gain at low and one gain at high, and it's the same gain. It just switches between them. And it all comes back to, I actually considered buying two OCDs, keeping one at low gain, one at high gain, so that I can go back and forth between them when I would need to.
That's a pretty common practice, I feel like. Yeah. I've seen that quite a few times.
I used to run a rack setup, and I actually had two OCDs and two full drives.
See, and that's so then that's why I ended up making the Bad Blood, so I could just again, for saving pedal space, because I didn't want to lug a bunch of pedals around. You know, the guy now that builds pedals, like I really only want to bring 7 or 8 to a show tops. I just don't want to lug around a big beast. So what can I do to minimize that? And so that's why I made that. But the OCD circuit is just killer.
Which version of the OCD was that? Do you remember?
The germanium version. Oh. I used 2 1N34A diodes, and it's, I think it sounds really great. It's got this warmth to it. I swear I'm not a pedal snob, but I love the sound of either a Telecaster for just really great. I think the germanium version with a Telecaster gives you really great cutting tones while not being piercing. And then you throw on a Les Paul through it, and it's rhythm all day and great, you know, drop D, just power chord driven kind of stuff. The sound of a Les Paul through that, really that warm kind of germanium sound. Anyway, and then my fourth pedal would probably be a Boss DD3.
Good choice.
You know, a delay just can take your sound from, you know, if you're transitioning to a bridge, or, you know, if you're doing some of the stereotypical things, which artistically, when I write music and create music, I like to have things that don't really follow a formula. But to be honest with you, one of the reasons I'm playing the music with the band I'm playing now is it's very easy and accessible, and it's easy to remember. So we don't have to practice a lot. We're a bunch of dads. You know, I got 4 kids. And we're just a bunch of 40 something dads that want to play an arcade at 7 p.m. on a Friday, so our kids can show up, play video games, and we can rock out and be home by 9 p.m. I mean, that is that, dude.
That's your dream.
Oh man, it's beautiful. And we're booking shows with other bands, and we're requesting to be the first band. Because I get to go home. I get to have my kids come hang out. And my kids now are from the ages of 8 to 17. I started young. I'm 40. And so the really cool thing is they're old enough that, like, dude, I got a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old that are just madly in love with Foo Fighters, Nirvana, Weezer, Green Day, all the typical things that a 13-year-old when I was young was like, dude, you got to listen to these bands. And so my boys, you know, while I ventured, when I started to be, you know, 14, 15, 16, I was digging for bands nobody had heard of and really liked the whole indie scene and stuff like that. Uh-huh. To hear them listening to that kind of music that was just on everywhere when I was a kid, it just, I love that as a dad. That's the kind of show. Jeez, man, that came from a DD3. Sorry, talk about a squirrel moment.
Yeah.
But the DD3 is great because it will make your guitar now sound different when you need to transition to. So nothing does that better than a delay to me, especially if you're doing some kind of a soaring octave line or something. Cock the wah, turn on your delay, and it just gives it that whole what's necessary, and then you bring it back. And anyway.
Yeah.
Cool.
Those are my
lineup, man. That's a solid. I mean, those are all time tested, true.
Yeah.
Tone. Tools.
Can you do a little more alliteration?
That's great.
Vocabulary hard. <Yes.
laughs> All right. Well, let's get on. You gave us a couple segues into learning more about Sketchy Pedals. And where can people go to check this out, by the way, while we're talking?
Well, I have the website is sketchysounds.com. You can go on the website, but I don't currently process orders through the website. honestly, I love that Etsy and Reverb. They're the only two channels I sell on is Etsy and Reverb. I don't have them in stores anywhere. I don't have them on any other websites. Right. I've had people ask, and I am looking to do that down the road and collaborate with the right people to do that eventually. But Etsy has been awesome. I would highly recommend if anybody is interested in making pedals or, really any gear, there's no better place to find some kind of an edge on it. So go to Etsy, search Sketchy Sounds, the stuff will come up. And on Reverb, I've been very thankful. I think between the two websites, Reverb and Etsy, I have over 700 five-star reviews that I'm really proud of. Didn't expect to get 20 reviews, let alone that many. And Etsy does a great job of you know, when people purchase to really get those reviews, and they don't, you know, it's not like they curate them in any way or anything like that. But they deal with taxation and all that stuff. So it's just way easier to go through a channel like that. And I've never had anybody complain. So
dig it. Right on. Head over to Etsy and look up Sketchy Sounds, and you're going to see a whole bunch of really great looking pedals. Just before we get too far down the road, I really am a fan of the artwork on your pedals.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Is that are you doing that? Do you have somebody like?
Well, can I answer that the long way a little bit?
Yeah,
'cause I've done a couple of them, but I've done. But I'm not good at graphic design. There are a couple local artists. Actually, the guy that did the Left Behind pedal, I've known that guy since I was a teenager. We lived in the same house together. We played music a lot of our lives. We've ridden motorcycles together. The guy's a great artist and a good dude. And so there's another one. The Thickness is another local artist to Janesville, Wisconsin, that I know that guy through a friend group. You know, he lives just down the road, basically.
Yeah.
So
that pedal looks killer.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. I've given the ideas, and then, you know, we just go back and forth. And there's a couple other artists that, I've come up with a concept, and I've tried to not be annoying tweaking it.
I think my favorite is the ruffled feathers, by the way.
Oh, okay. Right on. I appreciate that. I do. I think that I wanted to I've always been really into album art and customizing most things that I have. I got really into motorcycles, and there's a lot of custom culture in motorcycles. Yeah. I don't fit in hung out with me for more than a few hours, I don't fit into the stereotypical motorcycle anything. I'm cool with that. I worked at a Harley dealership for over 8 years, and I got a chance to know some really great techs and some really great people, and had a blast with that experience. And I think the biggest thing it did is it fed the part of my soul that music did in a creative way, in a way I didn't expect in any way. I mean, I would spend weeks going out in the garage and taking the wiring harness apart and totally customizing things and sending all my tins out for paint and like then putting it back together and seeing it in a way that kind of mentality translated into Sketchy Sounds pedals. And my whole experience with album art, my offices and my studios and my house and my rooms when I was a teenager, all of them had album art all over them. I mean, walls of collages. I still have them sitting on the other side of this basement that I should probably toss. But I mean, I've got thousands of CDs still with all of the. I bought so many albums because the artwork was cool, and then the band just sucked. But dude, back then, I would go to a used CD store and just dig around for albums, and I would take home 10 or 12. You spend $15, you take 10 or 12 albums home, and if three of them were great, that's great, but the album art was cool on all of them, and I was good with that too. So I think that's part of what I felt like. I love the OCD, the sound of it, and the creation of it was awesome, but when you look at it, it's just the words on white, right? And I felt like they're not that nobody's doing stuff. I mean, there's plenty of Earthquaker Devices pedals that look really cool, and plenty of others. I'm not going to sit here and name them all. I mean, everybody has different tastes, but I wanted to capture the spirit of album art. And if I would have thought that would look cool to put a CD out with that on it, that's what I want on the pedal. So I appreciate you saying that and even bringing it up front, because that might really be the only edge I have in this market that's incredibly saturated, and where my mind went with it. Yeah, so.
Well, and the old tapes is, you know, it looks great. It looks like indie mag illustration, yeah. And it just makes you, it's like, this is going to be fun. This is going to rock.
Thanks. I do appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, so you were talking about early on, you started just like modding and just working on your own stuff as a result of your Blues Breaker. The Blues Driver breaking.
Yeah.
Got my words all mixed up.
Oh, that's cool.
Your Blues Breaker was driving. It should.
That's good, baby.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about that. Like, how'd that progress?
Yeah, no, it kicked my butt. I failed. But it sent me down a road, because, like I said, I was pulling apart wiring harnesses on motorcycles and putting things back. Like, I was no – I love the wiring, and it's funny. The techs at the dealership hated it, but I loved it. And the pedal thing just kind of sparked, like, man, soldering and all that stuff, when I would take guitars apart, customize and put them back together, wiring them up was always my favorite. It just always was, but it never clicked to start going down the road with circuits and all that stuff. So I had a Fuzz Factory, and I took it out of its enclosure, and I bought a Flying V kit, and I routed it out, went in the garage, got my router out, and, made a little more space for the Fuzz Factory to fit. I custom made with my bandsaw a pick guard that I drilled out, just a wooden pick guard that I ended up staining. And I put that Fuzz Factory circuit, because the Fuzz Factory oscillates. And you'll notice with a few of my pedals that I have a feedback loop, because it does that, as does the Teaser Stallion. Why would my mind blank on this? I have a guitar with a Teaser Stallion in it. Anyway, geez, my memory is awful.
It's okay. But you should get one of those solder fume exhaust things.
Jeez, dude, I have it. I have it. I put on a mask and everything. I promise. It's always been that way, dude. I think I block out a lot of memories from my past.
Maybe it's the aluminum in your deodorant. No, I don't think so. I'm very sure it's not.
No, I built that Fuzz Factory into a Flying V. I built a Teaser Stallion into a I bought just a really cheap Epiphone Les Paul, routed it out, custom made a pick guard, and I put that in. And why I did those two circuits is because right from the guitar, then I could turn on the pedal and oscillate the feedback with the knobs.
Catlin bread.
And have full control right at my fingertips. And I was like, dude, I loved this experience of pulling it apart and whatever. And so I thought about, man, do I want to make some guitars that have pedals built into them? But I am not a luthier. I am not somebody that's great with woodworking. My guitars did not look like something that Fender would put in their catalog. Let me put it that way. It was just like, yep, this was a DIY guitar that was a lot of fun to play, but looks wise, I wouldn't be able to sell them. And so just in my searches for pedals that oscillate, I just happened upon some DIY circuit stuff, and I bought a couple of PCBs, and sure enough, I soldered them and they worked when I turned them on. And I was like, oh my God, I just made my own Fuzz Factory. I couldn't believe that I did that. And so, I'm like, why would I spend $200 on a new one and take the circuit out? Let me buy the components and for, you know, a fraction of that cost, throw them into a guitar. And so I ended up doing that with a couple of them. Uh-huh. And then I found just some techniques of being able to make the enclosures look professional. That was important to me. And once I kind of made a couple pedals, I gave them to friends and I'm like, can you be honest with me? I don't need a yes man. How do these look? And I got really positive feedback that, that could happen. And then I just, you know, fell in love and went all the way in. But it really stemmed from, the curiosity of a pedal breaking and then turning around. And once I put a couple of pedals into guitars and that inspiration from the Teaser Stallion and Fuzz Factory, the hurdle I had to get over was making it look like something somebody would be proud to own and not just a DIY thing that they could maybe justify, well, at least I supported somebody small. You know, I wanted somebody to want to show it to their friend, or when they show up to a show and it's on their pedal board, that pedal's one that they're proud of. It sounds great. It's made with quality components, but you know, who doesn't want to hop on the motorcycle that looks great? Who doesn't want to show up with a guitar that people say, what is that? Or dude, that thing's killer.
Rob.
I wanted the pedal to have that kind of effect for people, because whether anybody would want to admit it or not, it is, I think for musicians, that's part of it. You want your music to stand out. You want your creativity to stand out. Some people do it because they can make a lot of money doing it and they know how to run it like a business, and that's fine. But for those that want to be creative with it, I think it feeds that same part of the soul. And so I just felt like that could be something to do. And then really though, I threw them for sale. I listed a Garantula and Grenade Parade.
Very clever, and, by the way, the Garantula.
Yeah, I threw a couple on Reverb, just like, man, if I can sell them just to fund being able to make more pedals, that's cool. And within 24 hours, they sold. And I'm like, who bought these pedals? Like, this is, yes. I'm some rando that throws some pedals up. And they sold within 24 hours. And I'm like, cool, I'll make a couple. And those sold. And it's like, wow, I just... And then it just happened. I'm like, all right, well, let me keep making some more and adding some to the lineup. And they were selling, and I don't know how I'm still making pedals and people are buying them. Honestly, it was really, that's all it was I just wanted to make more pedals because it was feeding my soul. And, you know, I'm still nobody. I'm not like a big player in the space, but I feel like I've got
You're
this.
Nobody till somebody yeah, this loves corner. You.
I got a little corner I'm proud of and I'm happy to have, and it's thrown a little spark back into a 40-year-old musician. And
that's cool, man.
Yeah.
It looks like you're having fun with this. Like when you look at the pedals, you're like, somebody fun is making this stuff.
I appreciate that.
You know, that's what I saw.
No, that's kind of where it's at. Yeah, that's why we play music, man, to have fun. Yeah. Feed the soul.
You've got a good, thing going with what your brand is, that it does feel like, okay, all these pedals go together. And you're also taking some liberties with little bits of hardware and how you're approaching certain elements of the pedals. And that's just, you know, the extra creative bits. And that's the kind of thing is like, oh, it's got one red knob. I don't know why. I love it. I have to have it now. Well, it's silly stuff like that, but it's true.
Like black foot switches. I've had a couple people say, man, I don't know why other people don't use black foot switches more. I bought them because they had a black foot switch. And I'm like, one, hey, whatever it is that gets you to buy the pedal, that's great if it was a black foot switch. And two, yeah, I don't know why people don't use them.
Yeah.
But there are little things like that I don't know, maybe I should have been an interior design or something. I like it just when it clicks, when you're like, this looks like how I wanted it to look at. That isn't that, or what I want it to look like, that is important to me, because I used to deny that when I was younger. Sorry, the dog's barking.
The dog is eating your cockatoo.
my dad had my kids tonight. They must be getting home.
Oh, I see.
She's barking because they're just getting home. Sorry.
Okay, good, good.
Anyway,
I thought you were going to say your dad was eating the cockatoo. I'm like, that's even, that's worse.
He would, dude.
Fried chicken.
Put it over a grill. He'd do it.
Anyways, yeah. All right. So, I don't know where.
I don't know. I was talking about being an interior designer.
Yes,
or something.
Yes, interior design. Indeed, indeed. So, let me ask you, as a person who, not unlike many of the builders we've had on the show, you came into this because either something broke and you had to fix it, or you just had a curiosity that you couldn't really define, and then you just kind of fell into it. So you've explained that. I would love to know from your perspective, because there's a lot of people out there who are like, man, I just want to build a pedal and see what it's like. And da, da, da. What was the hardest thing that you felt about that process, about learning how to do this?
I appreciate the question because it's funny. The first two clones that I built, or the first, you know, I just bought some PCBs and made some clone circuits. They fired up, they sounded great, they work great, and it felt like magic a little bit. And then I made like 10 more, and I struggled with a few of them, and I wasn't happy with some of my solder joints. And I actually stopped for a little bit, just like, because I didn't want to make these pedals, put them on my board, be at a show, and they fail. I'd really feel stupid then. And I was genuinely concerned about that because I didn't know if they would withstand that kind of a thing. And I know what good solder joints were, and I just was not happy with them. And I had to buy I just had to get a better soldering iron and better solder, and it fixed the problem. It was really that I had the right kind of stuff for larger wire and, you know, the harnesses like on the motorcycles that I had, but I did not have something for PCBs. And when I just kind of finally invested in a good set, and by invested, you know, a few $100, you don't gotta sell the farm for them, but get a decent one that's meant for that. My confidence went up and I felt much better about it. And I think the thing is I would encourage anybody that is interested in buying one of my pedals, or any smaller builders. There's probably somebody that would buy a pedal from me or a smaller builder is a little, probably a little bit of a different breed than your normal, you know, beginner musician or I don't know. I guess I don't know what I'm saying with that, but I feel like it's somebody that wants to support a smaller builder. I think you have a little bit of that mentality, right? And that's not everybody. And so somebody that's going to buy one of my pedals might actually be curious and more apt to build their own. And I would 100% say, if it feeds your soul when you do it, invest in good equipment to do it, and it will make it much better. I mean, it's if you are just dipping your toes in and you think it's going to be great, but you don't invest in the tools, it's going to suck. You're not going to want to do it. You're going to question yourself, and you're going to justify not doing it because it's not working out. And I think that can be a barrier for some people. But if you're going to dread going to your workbench and soldering up a PCB, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't invest in the stuff. But man, I really wanted, I had questioned myself on it, but I really enjoyed it. And I think the high of it coming together in that enclosure and working was like, that high was just rad. So I knew that I wanted to do it. And that's what I would say. If you want to, if you're curious about it, get the right tools so your experience is right. You could always sell them and just take a small hit on the used market if it ends up being something you don't want to do. But don't let that be the barrier, you know?
Yeah. Well, that is sage advice. That's very much appreciated. I think it's also worth mentioning. It's like, you're building these pedals. You're getting more back probably just from making them by the sounds that, you know, what you've told us, from just the enjoyment of doing it and everything. Obviously, you know, making some extra cash on this is a great thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
your pedals are super approachable from a budget standpoint, which doesn't make them cheap. There's two different things, people. There's cheap, and there are things that are at a great value. And I
should charge more. I've been told that even by people who have bought them. And
if you decide to do that, do me a favor and do that before the show goes.
No. I'm not. I don't want to sound arrogant in saying that. I should, because I do think they're worth more than I charge. Just the quality of components and the nature. I personally, there's nobody else with a soldering iron making sketchy sounds pedals. I make every single one of them. I love doing it. I want to make pedals. And as long as people buy them, I will make them. And I don't want to price them in a way that makes it so people stop buying them, because it's working for me. The price point for me right now, I think it works for the consumer. It works for me. It's allowing, younger musicians or musicians who are maybe just getting into, you know, expanding their pedals. They've bought some of the basics and now they want to branch out, and they're learning about different, you know, they're hearing stuff from Josh Scott about different diodes, and they're kind of getting they're hearing a little bit more about the pedal community and the culture, and they're getting a little more interested in knob tweaking and that whole thing. And so they start branching out and get into smaller builders like what I can provide. And then all of a sudden they start getting into, well, it's $250 for this thing, but yeah, it's got through hole components and they're high quality and they're hand soldered right here in the US. And I'm like, and that's what I do. And allowing people to get into that, I would rather sell to that person and be locked in with that person, because I believe in that person. I believe that person's going to be great to work with. They're going to be stoked to get the pedal. They're going to be super appreciative. I mean, it's the whole community of people that would buy in that. I want to be a part of that. So right. It's just been really cool to meet some people, have some messages back and forth and do all that. And I want it to be accessible. I appreciate you saying that. I would agree. They're not cheap. I'm a little biased on it, but they are affordable, and I hope that just means that I can just continue to do this even longer.
Well, and it's, I think for a brand, if you're getting into a brand, honestly, this is one of those things where you're like, actually, I like a lot of the way that these look and the way that I've checked them out. You know, how do they sound, on YouTube or whatever. And I can actually afford to get a couple of these because they're not bananas priced. And that's a great way into a brand. Your pedals have a collectability to them because of the graphics and because they all do a little something different in the sense of a little bit more than what you might expect you're going to get out of that.
I appreciate that. That's really nice of you to say. I had no intention of making it into something like that when I started, for sure. It evolved into that. I didn't think I'd be having this conversation. So that's really, really cool of you.
Yeah, no problem. Anything that you have, what is it? One, two, you got a lot of pedals up there.
Yeah, I got 26 of them. Yeah, there's 26 different circuits.
Wow. That's fantastic. So there's something for everybody up here. That's for sure.
I got, plenty of distortions and fuzzes, got some modulation in there, a couple utility pedals, and, you could build a board around them.
No doubt.
And I really did it because I wanted those pedals. I mean, it's kind of why I did them. I wanted those in the lineup.
That's cool. All right. Last thing, are you planning to add anything more to the stable, as it were?
Oh boy, I need a break from it, man. are you, don't pressure me into it, please. The problem is like, you know, when you just finish, you've written a bunch of songs. I don't know if you guys, I guess I wouldn't know. As a songwriter, yes, you write a bunch of songs, you get them ready, you write the lyrics, you got the melodies, you're hearing all the other things in your head. You go, you record them, you play the songs a million times. Uh-huh. You hate the album, you're sick of it halfway through recording it because you've heard it too many. And then the album releases and you're like going to try to be excited that 20 people can hear it. But you're sick of them. You're sick of the songs when the album's done. I've released so many pedals. I've only been doing this for it was October of 21. So 2.5 years I've only been doing this, and I got 26 pedals, and I think I did too many. It's not like it squashed my spirit or anything, but I'm the guy that I finished the album and I don't want to write music, or I don't want to listen to that right now. I don't want to do any of that. I want to solder and, you know, blast some punk rock.
There you go.
And so I'm going to take a little hiatus from releasing something new. I don't mean to come on this and say I got nothing new to promote. I did just come out with a noise gate called the Brawler within the last month. I came out with Left Behind, a reverb pedal, a month prior to that. So I have come out with two new pedals in 2024.
Right.
That I was excited to put out. I will eventually put out a compressor. I don't have one in my lineup. It'll probably be this year, but it's going to be some months from now. But the other thing that's funny is I start getting design ideas and like almost, you know, characters like the Garantula character. When the artist that I had commissioned to put that together, when I got it, dude, I was so excited, man. I was beaming. I was calling my friends. I send it to them. And I was like, I called like 5 people to just say, dude, this guy nailed it. And then I had another guy do the lettering, and it like came together. And that high of seeing that come together, I can't escape that. So I will say this, I could get excited next week about a concept, and then the circuit almost comes after the concept of the character behind it. And that's a little bit, maybe I would say that's a lot different than real deal engineers that are doing incredible things for the pedal community by building circuits that nobody's ever heard of. I'm not that guy. I'm sticking with some tried and true circuits, building them high quality at affordable prices that might fit somebody's style to have them be proud of the way something is on their pedal board and have a classic circuit that's going to last and have somebody stand behind it. I'm good for that. I'm not the guy creating brand new leading edge things on the pedal market. I will admit that. So I don't know.
But you
I
can don't come have up to. With that's not the measure of success. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So there might be something sooner than the 5 or 6 months from now, but I think it'll probably be at least that before I release a new one.
Okay, well, we're not going to hold your feet to the fire on that one. All right, any last thoughts that you have before we shift over to the next segment?
No, I'm good. I appreciate it.
Okay, everybody, go out. Make sure you go out over to Etsy and check out Sketchy Pedals. You will find something that you like. Rob guarantees that. All right, let's motor on.
Yes.
Tanya?
Let's hop in the old El Camino. It's back, baby.
All right.
Yeah, we put the Subaru Brat away for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
We're going to head on down. Where are we going to go this time?
I don't know.
I'm not driving it.
Okay.
I'm in the back with the keg.
Bishop, California.
We're going to Bishop, California.
Yes.
Why?
I used to camp there.
Oh.
Yeah, got friends up there and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyways, yeah.
Do we need a tent?
Mount McKinney.
Do we need a tent?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Should we bring our
campfire? You should do the thing.
Should we bring our campfire guitars?
Stop it. Do the thing. Yes.
That's right, Todd, because we're going to head on out to Bishop, California, have a sing song along
yeah.
Around the campfire.
Yeah, you don't camp actually in Bishop, but Bishop anyway. Never mind.
Okay, I just won't mind because it's that part of the show that everyone loves to play. Would you rather?
Man, we gotta get it. We gotta hire somebody.
Where's Jared?
Go ahead.
Where's Jared when you need him? Thing. That's right. So, this Would You Rather is brought to us by our good friend Gregory Randall. So you're walking down the street with your mono gig bag and your guitar on your back and pass by the local animal shelter. They ask you to be part of a festival to raise funds, of course. You're glad to help, and the event goes really, really well and raises a ton of money for the little shelter dogs, uh-huh. cats, all the pets, all kinds, even the cockatoos. As you're packing up, the local guitar shop owner thanks you for helping out and has a gift for you. Yes, a gift. He has created two animal-themed pedal boards, and you can choose one. And the other one's going to go to another guitarist who also helped out. So, option one, it's a Proco Rat distortion,
of course.
An EHX Lizard Queen, that's an octave fuzz. A JHS Unicorn vibe. And an Earthquaker Hummingbird, that's a tremolo. You get the theme here? It's animals.
I got it.
And insects and things.
Yeah.
Or option two is an Animal Pedals Surfing Bear Overdrive. Walrus Audio Iron Horse Distortion. A Pedal Pawn Chicken Quiff Tremolo.
A what?
A Pedal Pawn Chicken Quiff Pedal. That's the tremolo.
Yeah.
And a Beatronics CB. That's a chorus.
Yeah.
Both boards are fully set up with a power supply and, of course, Tour Gear design patch cables. Which one will you choose?
All right. Yeah, well,
let me see the list of those pedals.
Tanya, we're going to go with you first, and then we'll check in with, we'll go with Rob, and then Brandon, and then myself.
Well, both of these pedals, or both of these pedal boards, I should say, have some really cool pedals. But if I had to choose between pedal one, pedal board one and pedal board two, I think I'm going to go with number two. That's the one with the Surfing Bear, the Iron Horse, the Chicken Quiff, and the CB. And only because I think those four pedals I would probably use. I mean, the vibe would be nice too, but I think having those four would be a good base for me.
Okay.
So I'm going with option two.
Rob, what are you doing?
I'm not ready yet.
Rob's not ready. He's never ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead, Brandon.
I would do option one. I think mostly in what I'm doing now, having a rat with a hummingbird. I don't think I'd pass that up. I love the sound of a rat, man. Just that, yeah. I would the to be honest with you, the names on the second board probably attract me more. They're a little more diverse. I think I would like that because I'd like to support that. But yeah, from a utility standpoint, I'm going with one.
Okay. Gotcha. Rob?
Okay. So I'm going to go with pedal board number one.
Are you?
I am. I need a trem, both of them have trem. I'd use a vibe more than, or I'd not think. I know I'd use a vibe more than a chorus.
Hmm.
And then likewise, the Proco. Of all the octave or the overdrive distortion options in there, that'd probably be the most useful for me. So
yeah, but it's one. But it's not called a Surfing Bear.
That's true. But it would sound better for what I want to do. So.
How do you know that for a fact?
Yes.
Okay.
So I
would pull the circuits out of board one and put them in the enclosures of board two.
there you go. Yeah.
That's perfect idea. Todd Lee, what are you thinking?
Well, my first inclination was to go with board one, I think simply because it starts off with the rat and it's like that's a familiar place to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that I'm going to go with board number two because I like the idea of stacking my drive, the option to stack the drive, and I do like a trim. And the chorus I don't normally use, but who knows? I can have some fun with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's from Beatronics. How bad can it be?
It isn't. It can't be bad.
It can't be bad.
That's why that's I'm the right answer. Board number two, Tony.
You're with me, Todd.
Thanks. Yes. Right.
50, it's 50. Awfully nice not to be alone on Tony Island.
Anyways, thank you so much, Gregory, for sending that in. You are a prince. All right, Tony, we need to thank a few people, and then we're going to say adieu to our friend Brandon.
We're going to put him in juice?
Where's this going?
Wait a minute now.
I'm kind of hungry now.
Yeah. Can we stop by Arby's on the way home?
Absolutely not. Go ahead.
That's right, Todd, because at this part of the show, there's a special group of people we love to thank. These are our executive producers, of course. Now, an executive producer makes this show possible. How do you become one? Real simple. Head over to patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Check out a couple different levels in which you can participate. Become a sponsor, a patron, a hero, a friend of the podcast. Each level comes with some very nice thank you gifts. And I do mean very, really nice thank you gifts. Mm-hmm. I'm telling Indeed. You.
And I mean, for Pete's sakes, we're getting ready to give away seven
warm pedals.
Audio pedals, for Pete's sake. So,
or should we call them hot pedals?
Well, no, we didn't steal them.
That's true. Yeah, so giveaways, of course. Being an executive producer qualifies you for all the fun giveaways. But
exactly.
As an executive producer, there's one thing more. What would that be?
You get to have your name read on the thing.
Your name read on the thing, and that's what I'm going to do right now. So special thanks to these executive producers. Vader and Petters.
Petters?
Yes, there's those Petters.
I'd like to have some Petters.
How about Vader and Petals? John Halverson, Rick Calhoun, Trevor Gunberg, Hilad Mizrahi, Mike D, Richard Kendall, James White, Motander Guitars, Bill Gore Guitars, John Esterly from Rare Buzz Effects, Anthony Lathrop, Stefan Lem, Michael Senchuk, Ken Sayers, Darren Gregory, Tom Brazen, Rusty Sneeden, Ralph Gottschalk from Wonderful Audio Technology, Don Kloss, Gregory Randall, Brett Hogarth, Eric Hammer, Stuart George, Michael Furman, James Bell, James Romer, Cameron Pampas, Trevor Ellenberg, Christopher Logan, and John Sebastian.
Yee-hoo!
But wait, Todd, there's more because we have a special group of our executive producers. We call them our Grand Poobas.
Indeed.
These fine folks are the creme de la creme, the top of the heap, the A number ones.
And
the kings of the hills. And they wear a fez upon their head whilst listening to the podcast.
That's true.
That is true. I've seen them do it. So special, special, special thanks to these Grand Poobas. Tommy Manasco, Ricardo Higuereda, David Kaminga, Brandon Wound Pickups, Hex Matos, Michio Murakishi, Bob Crouch, Jack Cadian, Sam Jett, Tyler Casey Rines, LSJ Music Company, John Williams, James Pennington, Steve Keys, Cody Foster, Science of Sound, Brian Robison, Jonathan Jerusik from 12th Hour Devices, Corey Nigro, Michael Van Zant, Tim Nowak, Jonathan Daly, Martin Cliff, Sean S. David Poe, Billy Spitfire Unlimited, Congregation Gear Demos, Paul Von Eppinger, Scott Sullivan, Great Lakes Guitar Pickups, Matt Hart, Enrico Fernando, Moon Guitars, Adam Johnson, Eric Edwards, David Tyndall, and Anthony Gemolero.
All right, all right. Thank you all so much for helping to keep this machine a-rolling.
You know it.
Truly, truly appreciate it. If you have been considering and you're like, yeah, I don't know, it sounds like maybe they got a lot of help or whatever. Yes, we do. But we didn't get there because everybody sat on the fence, and we truly appreciate that.
No fence sitting, please.
No fence sitting. Come be part of our fun. It will make you sleep sometimes at night. All right.
Well said.
Tony, let's ask our friend Brandon where people can go find the stuff.
That's right, Todd. Brandon, where can people go to find your stuff?
Reverb or Etsy.
Perfect. Look up Sketchy Pedals and get yourself some. And also, where can they see what you're doing?
Well, I sometimes post on Instagram. I should be a lot better. But you can see new stuff coming out. If you search Sketchy Sounds on Etsy or Reverb, sometimes I've got some stuff posted on Instagram. That's about the only thing I'm somewhat active on.
And don't forget to check out Brandon's band, Joymaker.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, you can do that if you want.
Perfect. And let's see, Tony, where can people find what you're doing?
Very easy. Go over to pickguardian.com. Check out some of the wares I have available for purchase. But by and large, what I do is custom work. So shoot me an email. Let me know what you're trying to do, what you need, what color you want, all the stuff. And I will take very good care of you.
Indeed, indeed. Rob.
Mad Cow Amplification. Instagram, Facebook. I think that's it.
And robhateseverything.com. All right.
Todd self-projection.
Yes. Rocksfortodd.com.
Rocksfortodd. Yeah.
Your amp is not good enough.net.
Oh. He's never said that.
Not at all.
I will go to Rob's defense on
that's
that.
That's true. That's true.
how about you, Todd? Where can people find you?
Well, I was just
under the table.
Another URL for Rob. I'll fix it, but it's still going to sound like crap.com.
Too many letters.
I tell Todd his amp sucks one time, and this is what I get.
I'm just gonna, I should buy all these and just do it. That would be so much fun. Anyways, we love Rob. I know that I dish
on Tony
you.
Does.
Yeah, I do. No,
Jared, Tony. Yeah.
Anyways,
the good old days.
You can DM me at. On Instagram at Guitar Knobs, please share us your hopes, your dreams, things you don't like, what you think about Rob, and
things you don't like Todd,
and also send us your Would You Rathers. This was a great one. We love reading Would You Rathers.
Oh yes,
indeed. Be on the lookout for the giveaways we're doing. We're going to be announcing those, and also. And I will say this to Brandon, next time you're building a pedal, listen to the Villantinos.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yes. Villantinos. The Villantinos.
Spell it.
That's my bad.
Spell it.
All right.
The
Villantinos.
Spell
it. But spell it.
A-I-N-V-I-L-L-A-I-N. No.
Villian.
Dang it. I spelled it. Awesome. You got me doing
this
it wrong.
Is why I have you spell it.
That's awesome.
V-I-L-L-A-I-N-T-I-N-O-S.
Villantinos.
Yes,
I got you. I'm searching on Amazon Music right now just because I've got that readily available.
Perfect.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what we got. Thank you so much, Brandon, for coming on the show and for making some great pedals that people can have a great time playing and not feel bad about themselves for it.
I really appreciate the time. It was very nice to get to know you guys.
You bet. Our door is always open to you. We look forward to new things that you do. And make sure you guys go check that out. Have a fantastic guitar week, everybody. And subscribe! Oh, my.
What frequency is that?
You know what it smells like? It smells like blueberry Timbits.
Okay.
Oh, I love blueberry Timbits.
Oh, those are good, aren't they? Those are so good.
Man, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird. Bird is the word.
You guys do a great job. Very professional. I mean, I've heard a bunch of kind of DIY ones, and that's
sure
cool.
You were listening to the guitar knobs.
I think you're on the wrong.
You guys sound great.
Half blueberry, half chocolate glazed.
And then we got Old Moanin' Rob, Rob Chafe from Mad Cow Amplification.
Chafe.
Am I allowed to talk again?
What do you mean?
Do I have
you're
permission?
Always allowed to talk.
No, you muted us.
I
you
did.
Were like, no more.
I did.
Yes.
Yes. I can do that.
All right.
Or in French, visual.
Visual.
I'd be okay with just, like, if they come back and say, I'm sorry, we're out of chocolate glaze. Okay, just move away. You know?
All we are farts in the wind.
Somebody needs to do that, by the way.
I haven't used this to see if there's some kind of a
what's your
volume
microphone.
Like a 5K squeal going on there.
This quick.
Tony said that it sounds like 5K feedback, so I pulled up a function generator for 5K, and it's like...
Of course you did.
Spot on.
You...
Seriously, how'd you... I mean...
Vulcans. Yeah.
Ask your question again, Todd.
Yeah, I will. Hang on. I'll do the high part. I don't know what the words are, but I'll do it. Anyways.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Todd Novak.
Nope, that's...
Nope, wrong one.
That was great.
Okay.
Root minor 7/5. Yeah, that's what it is.
I do like the sour cream ones, too.
Yeah, I'd rather have the blueberry than sour cream. A bass player of STP talking about some of their biggest hits.
I have a funny STP story for you.
And thanks for interrupting. And
interrupting host.
And
hey.
He's talking about, like, not 4.5 or 5.5. You're like... 5K.
He guessed so hard, and he is loving it right now. Perfect.
Check, check, check.
Check, 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 1, 2.
I'm trying to help.
I don't think this thing's on,
hey,
Todd.
Guys, I'm trying to help. Both of them did.
No, just the one.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Only one.
All right.
I've learned anytime Tony is that confident, just let it go. He's right. Because, I mean, really, that's kind of, it's the
sour cream. Sour cream with blueberries.
Yeah.
And away we go.
Well, that's it for these knobs. Please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Visit our website at theguitarknobs.com for all of our past episodes, Four on the Floor blog, and other good stuff. You can connect with us on social too at our Facebook page and share your gear and stories on our Facebook group. Also, be sure to check out our Instagram at Guitar Knobs. Catch you next time.